Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
This is the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for joining us this week. The beauty and health industry is worth billions of dollars annually. Sourcing ingredients, manufacturing products, packaging, and promoting are all key to the success or failure of any brand. Patty Schmucker has worked in the beauty and health industry for more than 40 years, starting her career as a hairstylist to now leading iconic beauty and health brands in her roles as president of American Made Beauty and leader of strategic business development with the Kirshner Group. And I'm really pleased to have Patty join me today to talk about some of the challenges and best practices in what is, I'm guessing, a highly competitive industry. So welcome, Patty. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing very well, and thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. So tell me, how competitive is this industry?
Highly competitive. You know, it's interesting that it's really I tell people that it is easy to make it. Making it's the easy part. Making it successful is what's really difficult. So it's a very crowded landscape and many new entries coming into the marketplace. But it really takes a lot of knowing the industry and having the right team around you to make it something that is truly a successful business versus a hobby.
Right. Let's go back right to the beginning. Let's have a very quick synopsis of your career, because you went from a hairstylist to now these leading roles in the industry. So how did you get there?
You know, I think it's being the kind of person that's always curious. I started out working behind the chair, and I absolutely loved touching consumers and the whole process of the chemistry, the physical aspect of the service in terms of cutting hair or doing skin or doing makeup, which is really where my specialty and my passion evolved. I loved that whole process, but also understanding further up the a supply chain in terms of how products were developed and, you know, all the ingredients that went into it and all of those kinds of things that I was so curious about that I constantly was learning and educating myself and just was at the right place at the right time when there were different opportunities. And I continuously said yes. Even when I wasn't sure that I knew how to do that particular job, I said yes. When Horst Reckelbacher of Aveda asked me to become the Aveda distributor in Las Vegas, Nevada, I had no idea what to do. I had no money. I had no idea about running a distribution business. And he said, don't worry. The old rules don't work. We're going to have to make them up. I'm going to front you the product that you need, so you don't need to worry about that. And the only guarantee I can give you is that the city of Las Vegas exists, and that's where I want you to go. And I said yes. So constantly being curious, constantly saying yes, and stepping into things with being courageous, I think are the things that have allowed me to have the career that I have.
So this is an industry in the health and beauty industry. I'm guessing that it is highly regulated. So I'm sure that's one of the challenges in the industry, but what are the major challenges here?
Well, it is there, and the interesting thing is that in the United States, given the kind of economy that we have, have less regulations than imposed regulations than other parts of the world with regards to cosmetics. But the fact is that cosmetics are regulated here in the United States. The difference is that the rules exist, what ingredients that can be used in the product, the way the product is labeled, the kinds of claims that can be made. All of these are regulatory compliance or regulatory issues that exist and companies are required to comply with. But in the United States, before a product is put in the market, there's no requirement to demonstrate to any legal body that you have followed the rules. However, if you plan to distribute that product outside of the United States to any country in the world, before you're able to import that product or export that product out of the U.S. and import into another country, that product must go through a regulatory compliance that is, in some cases, can be even more strict than what it is here. So it is, in order for a brand to be ready to go anywhere in the world, there are rules that need to be followed. And the product built right from the very beginning so that it is globally compliant. If you don't, then you will essentially start over from scratch when the time comes that you want to take that product internationally. So it is important to understand what the rules are going into it right from the very beginning and build the product so that it is compliant, so that you have the ability to market. But more importantly, compliancy means that consumers buy products that, number one, are safer. Number two, are labeled in such a way that the consumer can make an informed choice about what she's buying. And that's why a lot of these regulations exist.
Right. So when we talk about sourcing ingredients that people are going to feel okay putting on their bodies or in their bodies or whatever, how difficult is it to source the ingredients and maintain your supply and your pricing structure when you have a manufacturing process you need to follow?
It can be very difficult, and this is where the real education comes in, because, you know, there are a variety of ways that cosmetics can be made. There are cosmetic manufacturers out there that have what's called bench formulas. They make formulas, and a brand owner can walk in the door and say, I want a lotion or a shampoo or a conditioner. And they can basically just take their bench formulas off the shelf and put your name on it. In many cases, that's what a lot of brands are on the market. The owner of the brand has little to do with the goop that's in the jar. That contract manufacturer is the one that is sourcing those ingredients and putting that together. And so where they source from and the quality of the ingredients that go into it is less, there's less importance that's put in. There's only a very small amount of companies in the marketplace that actually are involved in selecting the raw material manufacturers and ensuring that the ingredients are chemically standardized. And this is a key part of being able to ensure the quality of a product. And what that means from a cosmetic perspective, let's take lavender, for example. Lavender has certain qualities about it that we know from a scientific perspective can be soothing and calming overall to the body and to the skin. But in order for it to be soothing and calming to the skin, it's got to be in the product at a certain concentration, a certain dosage. And if it isn't in that concentration, it isn't going to have that kind of effect. So a brand owner, somebody who actually owns the brand and is putting together the formula, by being involved in the selection of the raw materials, being able to set a standard for the chemical standardization, the chemical level of the ingredient, whether it's a botanical, a plant-based ingredient, or a synthetic ingredient, they're all chemicals. they all come together as molecules, and there's a way to measure them. And so this is an important factor in terms of the quality of the ingredient, and consequently also has an effect on price. So one part of it is really having the opportunity to truly be involved in selecting all of the raw materials and having standards that are set up in terms of what performance you want and making sure the ingredients are at the dosage level that allows you to get the appropriate results. Is one aspect of making sure that you're able to produce a good quality product. Now, on the pricing side, obviously, the more selective you are and the higher the quality of ingredients, the more there's a drastic difference in price. I'll give an example would be Celeb Luxury is a line of beauty products in the market that instantly will change the color of pre-lightened hair. The quality of the pigments that they use in their product is 100 times more expensive than what 80% of the companies in the market are using. It's an FDA compliant ingredient that's so safe that it can be used on anybody. The company is so concerned about safety, they recommend it not be used on pets or children, but the safety of those color ingredients, they've purposely gone out and gotten those ingredients that are the highest quality and have clinical tests that prove that they are safe to be used on the skin and on the body. So those are the kinds of things that it can affect price. And so knowing what the competitors in the marketplace are charging for product and being very intentional about the pricing structure is critical for a company to be successful in the marketplace. And so the bottom line in all of that is you got to know the market. You've got to go into this with a good team of people who can educate you. Making the product is easy. Making it successful, the right price, the right ingredients, the right manufacturer. It does. It's a complicated process in the cosmetic industry today.
Are you finding that there are more companies that are going that route or less?
No, I think the consumer is demanding too much. They are absolutely demanding quality. They're demanding transparency. As we have more of a mixing of ethnicities around the world, you're seeing different types of skin, different types of hair, different types of needs that are taking place. As the consumer is being able to talk with the brands rather than being talked at to from the brands, there's more of an engagement with the consumer that is making some good choices. Now, I think we'll always have rural areas, places where people maybe don't have choices, but as more and more countries come online, you're seeing, we are seeing that consumers are buying up. Indian market in India. As that particular market, there's more and more people being able to buy better quality products because the market is being opened up and more American products are coming in and products from other parts of the world. The person that was only able to afford a bar of soap is now buying up to a brand name bar of soap, a better quality. And that person who is buying a brand name bar of soap is now buying a body wash. So we are seeing that consumers are wanting better quality because they've learned that what you put on the surface of your skin actually is ingested into the body. And so we've done a good job of educating people that what we're putting on our skin is really important. And so the consumer is demanding more and companies are innovating. That's the exciting part of it. We know more about the body today than we've ever known before. And as a result, we are able to do some very innovative things with topical application of product for the hair and for the skin and for the body, and ingestibles. Ingestible beauty is an exploding category. So it is very exciting, the things that we can do and the power of these various different products that are coming in the market. And as a result of it, we do have better choices in making affordable, good quality, healthy products.
So I know we talked about this before, about regulations affecting your ability to export a product from America to somebody else, but how does the desire to import or export affect the manufacturing decision with cosmetics?
Well, a lot of different things. I mean, one of them is from a cosmetic perspective, remember that I call it the goop that goes in the jar, oftentimes cannot be patented. Because in most cases, if we're talking about liquids, it's a combination of commonly used known ingredients that are in the marketplace. So unless you've really done something unusual, it's very difficult to get a patent, if you will, on the goop that's in the jar. So in the cosmetic industry, the most valuable asset that a brand has is a recognizable brand. So, for example, a L'Oreal or an Estee Lauder or a Celebs Luxury or, a Helen of Troy. Those are Helen of Troy or appliances. These are all companies that the most valuable asset, Conair is another good example, Babyliss. These are all brand names that no matter where you go in the world, they're recognizable. You know who they are. And that is the greatest, most valuable equity or asset that a company has. So as you begin to move product from its original domestic country outside into other regions, it's that perfect balance of being able to have the brand be recognizable, but also localized and being able to communicate within that marketplace in a way that makes sense to that language, the cultural habits, the way that that particular region of the world takes care of themselves. All of those things require an understanding of the marketplace and some intelligence about being able to allow that brand to still be recognizable while being accessible to that particular market. So that's one particular aspect of exportability of a brand from its original domestic market. And the second is pricing, because the cost of moving goods from one part of the world to the other involves all sorts of different elements. In the past, it's just been more about logistics in terms of shipping and things like that. But of course, in our current political environment, it's now accelerated due to the tariffs. So the exchange rate, the stability of one country versus another, all of these are factors that need to be considered. And part of the reason why, you know, in the beauty industry, the Kirshner Group, American Made Beauty, we really work with our brands to help them understand all of those elements, understanding how to navigate those tough environments and being able to surround yourself with a team of people that have that deep industry experience, I think is really critical for a brand that's going to be, again, more than just a hobby. There are lots of companies in this industry today that it's just a hobby. Somebody is just, they love putting something together, but they're not really looking for it to be a global brand, be a real business. But if it's something that you're building with the idea of being a real business, you want to surround yourself with a team of experts.
Patty Schmucker has been my guest this week on the Make It Right podcast. She's the president of American Made Beauty and leader of strategic business development for the Kirshner Group. We're going to continue our conversation next week when we look at the importance of brand loyalty and the impact organics have had on this multi-billion dollar health and beauty industry. I hope you'll join us then. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Make It Right podcast.